joke today comes from Dad Joke of the Day. This was Dad Joke of the Day from yesterday. I ordered 2,000 pounds of Chinese soup. It was wonton. I told you, good dad joke. Last week, I read a portion of a speech given in 1910 by the then president, Theodore Roosevelt. It was titled, "The Man in the Arena." And he specifically wrote and gave this speech because he saw a culture of apathy and people being critical of other people and people who were not getting in the arena. In other words, they weren't being effective with their life. And when you're not using your life for greater purposes than yourself, then that's what happens. Apathy sets in very easily when we aren't making ourselves useful. I want to read again just a small portion of The Man in the Arena. It starts out, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena." I think we need a call like that to Christianity. We need a challenge like that with our faith. We need a challenge like that to keep us from becoming apathetic about this world, because it is so easy to get cynical about this world versus being in the arena and making a difference. And you know, so many people are drawn to just be critical of our culture and to get cynical and bitter and then sit and do nothing. God would call us to a challenge to get into the arena and be effective with our lives. We talked last week about becoming lukewarm in our faith. When we are apathetic, we complain, we do nothing, we become lukewarm. And our lives aren't effective for God's kingdom work. Now, last week's challenge was really a challenge, I felt. Now, I'm going to turn the dial up a little bit hotter today, because I want our church to be a high-challenge church. There's too many churches where we come in, we worship, we pat each other on the back, we feel toasty and warm, and then we just go on with our life with that little to no challenge. But as I read God's Word, I see God challenging us in all areas of our lives. And so I want us to be a high-challenge church. So this morning, let's get uncomfortable. Here's the charge. In the church, God did not design you to be a spiritual consumer. God designed you to be a spiritual contributor. That is God's design for us. There are too many churches filled with people who consume and consume and consume and don't even give a thought to contributing. But that's what we're called to do. Did you know, if you're a member of Paint a Christian Church, this church does not exist for you. You exist for those who have not come. For those who are far from Christ, that's what you exist for. Now, I want you to imagine with me a scale of 0 to 10. 0 being someone who only consumes. 10 being someone who only contributes. Now, no one in this room is a 10. Only Jesus was a 10. He never consumed in a moment of his life. Every hour of every day, Jesus contributed. He was a 10. But I don't believe there's anyone in this room who's a 0. We're all somewhere in between. And if you'd be honest with yourself, where do you feel that you'd find yourself on that scale? Am I leaning more towards consuming, or am I leaning more towards contributing? And so for you and I this morning, to get closer to that 10, to get closer to being someone who contributes, let's look at God's Word, because it's God's Word that will get us to where it is we want to be. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve yourself." No. It says to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Maybe you haven't thought of it, but God has given you a gift. In fact, he's given you gifts. It's in the plural. God has given you gifts of service for others. Now, when we think about gifts, you get a birthday gift, a Christmas gift. Our minds track, when I open that up, who's the gift for? Me. That gift, my name was on it. That gift is mine. Not so with the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives to us. He gives us those gifts so we can give them away in service of others. And then some folks will look around and say, well, I mean, I wish I had the gift to play those drums or to sing or play that guitar or to teach a class or so on and so forth. And we look around at other people's gifts and we get a little jealous. God would say, I gave you the specific gifts that I knew that you needed. Thrive with them. Stop looking around at everyone else. Thrive with what I've given you. Make the grass greener where you are. Stop looking around at everyone else. We're designed to not consume, but to contribute. But here's the problem that we deal with. We are discipled by the culture to be a consumer. We are discipled in our culture to consume and consume and consume. Make it about you. Because nobody's going to do anything for you. So you got to do it for yourself. You think about, you go to Chick-fil-A, God's chicken, right? And when you walk in the door, they say, my pleasure. Oh yeah, I like that. Give me some more. Give me some more of that God's chicken. Or you sit on the couch in the evening or you're in the Lazy Boy and you fire up the TV and you go to your apps and you go to Netflix and you're waiting for the da-dun. And in your mind, you're thinking, there had better be something good on here for me to watch tonight. And then you scroll and you scroll and you scroll and you end up shutting it off. Anybody do that? Or in a relationship, you think to yourself, they better do something to meet my needs today. We get this consumer attitude, and what happens? We live it day in and day out, and it seeps into the church. And that is not God's design for the church. There's this idea of shopping. They call it church shopping. That's a consumer attitude. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to find a church that teaches God's word. But once you've found that church, then dive in, man. Dive in. God wants you to be a contributor. And the question has to be asked, at what point do you realize, all I do is eat? Come on, preacher, give me some more. Go to Sunday school class. Come on, teach me something. And we eat and we eat and we eat. And spiritual obesity is not healthy. At one point, we got to start exercising what's been given to us, and we stop the consuming, and we start to contribute. I think God wants someone to move today from being a consumer to a contributor, because God doesn't want to see anybody just sitting and consuming. And so there's one of three places that you'll find yourself, and I'm going to mention all three, and then we'll get to point one. You're going to be either in the box seats, you're going to be on the bench, or you're going to be grabbing a towel. Point number one. In the box seats. It's this idea that the church is designed to serve my needs and wants. And there are some people who are Christians their entire life, and they go to the grave, and they thought the church was all for them. That's just how they felt. That's how they viewed it, that the church existed to serve my needs. The disciples, think about the disciples, these 12 guys that Jesus called to him. They lived every day for 3.5 years with Jesus. I don't think there were many moments where they weren't with him. Other than times where Jesus would say, you know, get in the boat, go to their side, I'm going to spend time with my Father. But a vast majority, for 3.5 years, they were there with Jesus. And what were they watching Jesus do? Time after time after time. Contributing. Never once was Jesus a consumer. And so they saw firsthand. It's one thing for you and I to read the Bible and read that Jesus was a contributor. They actually got to see it in action. And then at the end of Jesus' life, in Mark chapter 10, a couple of disciples have a question of Jesus, and I want to read it, Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And what does Jesus do? He's a contributor, so he says, what do you want me to do for you? He's a contributor. He was always there to meet the needs of others. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and another at your left in your glory. In other words, they are saying, you know what? I want the box seat. I want to be really comfortable in heaven. And I want people to come and worship me. They'll worship me because we're sitting on each side of you, Jesus. We know you're a king. They want the box seats. How many of you have ever been to a sporting event or maybe a concert and you had prime seats? Ever had that happen? That spoils you quick. Because you'll never want to not ever have a box seat again, right? Amen? I've been to Atlanta Braves baseball game years ago. Trista's uncle got us really good seats. He had connections. You sat in these comfortable plush seats. There was a cup holder built in. Concierge came. They took your order. You didn't have to get out of your seat to get something to eat. Popcorn, unlimited. Bathrooms were right over there in that tunnel. You didn't have to wait in line. They were reserved just for your row. That spoils you quick. And I think far too many Christians view that when it comes to church, I get the box seat. I want it to be comfortable, and I want people to serve me and meet my needs. And as long as that happens, I'll be happy because the church should be serving me. Think about it. You come to church. If it's hot out, it's cool in here. If it's cold out there, it's hot in here. And I know I don't make a lot of you happy with how I control it. But you come into a fairly comfortable building, right? You can get a cup of coffee. You can get a snack. You start walking in here. We don't have creaky old pews. We got plush, nice chairs. You might have a mindset as you walk in, man, I hope the band's good today. I heard this song this week. Maybe they'll play that song. Half the service, your little rugrats get to leave, and you get to have peace and quiet for about 30 minutes. Then you start thinking about the sermon. Oh, man, I bet he does. I hope he does better than last week. I'd say a B minus last week, and the joke was terrible. And then we have a closing song, and we get up and leave. And we can have this experience, this mindset, I want the box seat. I want to be served. Serve me, church. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you're not a member of Paint a Christian Church, I hope you feel that you can come in this place and you get a box seat. Because we're here to serve you. And when you decide you want to go all in and get out of the box seat, you do that when you feel led to do so. But if you're a member of Paint a Christian Church, when will you feel it in your heart to get out of the box seat and get into the arena? Because you were not designed as a Christian to be a consumer. You were designed to contribute. So then Jesus, they ask this question, and he does what a good coach would do. He calls a timeout. Like, hold on, guys, timeout. The other disciples, they're just right behind James and John. They all want the same thing, and Jesus knows it. They were just the only two that had the courage to go and ask. Why Peter wasn't involved, I'm not sure, because he always seemed to be the guy putting his foot in his mouth. And so Jesus takes the time out. He knows they're all wanting the box seats, and Jesus says in four words something that should be seared into our hearts and minds. I am sure it did for the disciples. He says, not so with you. Not so with you. You don't get the box seats. Now, there's people around you. They think they should get the box seats, but not so with you. In Mark chapter 10, verses 43 and 45, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In other words, Christians don't sit and consume. We get in the arena and we contribute. That is the only way the world will change. The only way. The second place you could find yourself is on the bench. How many of you have ever played a sport and you got benched? That's a fun day. Why do people get benched? Some might look at the other players and think, I'm just not as good as them. I'm not qualified. Or perhaps you just didn't choose to manage your time correctly. You didn't make your sport the priority that should have been, and you're not developed in the game, and so you get benched. You know, there's no bench in the body of Christ. If you're a Christ follower, you need to get off the bench. Why do we sit on the bench? Because we have excuses. But you're not the first person to make an excuse to stay on the bench. You go back to Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. Moses absolutely throws a tantrum. When God calls him to go to Egypt and face Pharaoh, he don't want to do it. And he has all sorts of excuses. But the thing is, every Christian is called and every Christian has gifts. That's what the Bible says. Every one of us. God works through your availability far more than he works through your abilities. And I think we look at our abilities and our flaws and say, you can't use me. But God is waiting for the available. He doesn't care about your talents and gifts and your thought of them because he already knows it. He's just waiting for your availability. Make yourself available to him. But some people might say, but Dave, my life's jacked up. There's no way that God could use me. Welcome to the club. Because we're all imperfect people. You go back in the Bible and just examine some of the lives of some of the people God used. You think about Noah. Noah had a problem with alcohol. Abraham, he was a liar. Jacob, he was a cheater. And Moses, well, he had anger issues. David was a murderer, and Solomon was greedy, and Elijah was suicidal. Thomas was a doubter. Peter was a denier, and Paul was a murderer. And so our excuses, they don't count. Just make ourselves available. Did you know the number one way to overcome mental health concerns? Dr. Jordan Peterson says, if a person is depressed, discouraged, or addicted, the quickest solution to most mental health issues is to make yourself useful to another person. Jesus already told us that. And so we got to choose to get off the bench. Because as long as we're on the bench, who's our focus on? Me. Me and my problems. Me and the things that I've done. But what if you get off that bench, all of a sudden, you make yourself useful to another human being? You're not focused on that bench anymore. You're focused on someone else and their needs and their concerns. And then your needs and your concerns, God might handle them for you. But that won't happen until you choose to get off of the bench. Get off the bench and get into the arena. You might think, but if I serve others, then who's going to serve me then? Because I've been living a life trying to serve myself, but if I go serve him and her, who's going to fill me? Trust me. God will fill you. Don't worry about who's going to do it. God will do it for you, but he wants you to take that step first. The other place you could find yourself, and this is where God wants you, he wants you to grab a towel. He wants you to grab a towel. Now, if you go to a nice restaurant, you might have a guy approach you like this. I've been to one in my life. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, Louisville, Kentucky. Insanely expensive, and I'm glad I didn't have to pay the bill. I think this is a universal sign that the person holding this is going to what? Serve you. And so, a few days after, Jesus has this conversation and tells him, not so with you guys. They're back in Jerusalem. The 12 are in an upper room of a home, and they're waiting for Jesus to come. They had done this many times. They had no idea that this was going to be a night that would change their lives forever. And Jesus shows up, And I think they got so accustomed to Jesus being around, when he came in the room, from what I can tell by reading this story, I don't even think they noticed him walk in the door. Why? They were bickering at each other. I'm better than you. No, you're better than him. And whining about who was better, who was greater among them in the room. How ridiculous. Just a few days before Jesus' time out, not so with you. And they're right back to this consumer mentality. Because whoever's the greatest, guess what? They get to be served. But Jesus told them, not so with you. And they're still arguing the same point. And so Jesus tells us he grabs a towel and a basin of water. And he gets down on his hands and his knees. At that point, I'm sure they all recognize Jesus. Like, what's he up to? He dips a towel. And you got to remember, the Roman Empire controlled Israel. They didn't know anything about germs. Sewage. Where'd your sewage go? Out in the street. They didn't have closed-toed shoes. They wore sandals. Their feet were exposed to the nastiness. And the king of the universe is down on his knees. What Jesus is trying to model to these guys, you want to be great in my kingdom? Grab a towel. You want to do great things in my name? You want to honor me? Grab a towel. And so he goes to James and John. Just a few days earlier, they're the two that came complaining, we want left and right. He starts washing their feet. He goes over to Peter, who's going to deny Jesus. He washes his feet. He goes to Judas, who later that night, he'd already received the money, going to turn Jesus over to the authorities so he could be arrested, tried, and crucified. And Jesus really backed up what he meant about loving your enemy. And he washed his feet. This act should break us. It really should. It should break us of this attitude of consuming. No one, I don't belong in a box seat, and I don't belong on a bench. I belong in the arena serving the king of the universe. You want to be great? Go serve. You want to change your life? Go serve. I remember Bible college. Went to freshman orientation. I had no idea what I was in store for. The first statement was, this isn't church camp. Look at the people beside me. What's that mean? It's going to be tough. I thought all you'd need is a Bible. We got to study the Bible. Then we had a book list. A few hundred dollars worth of books in the bookstore. Wow, this is going to be really... I made a mistake. And then a comment was made. You're not here to consume. I'm here to get an education. I'm paying for this. I'm here to be taught and consume. And they told us because... you will not develop into the servant God has called you to be if all that you do is consume. Boy, was that true. You see, Jesus measures greatness not by seats or titles, but by boldly grabbing a towel to serve. And this flies in the face of our culture. Because we're taught greatness is titles and roles and seats of honor. Not so with you. Not so with me. This calendar year of 2025, this church has averaged per Sunday 200 people. Average 200 people worshiping on a Sunday morning. How does that happen? Well, number one, it's because of God. He is above everything. It is because of God and His Son Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, this happens because of Christians who pick up a towel. It's those who grab a towel and they serve with the gifts and talents that God has blessed them with. That is how this happens. We need you to have a towel in your hand. We need you to have a towel. If you're not a follower of Christ yet and you just want to come here and consume, do it. By all means, do it. We're here to serve you. But if you're a member of Paint a Christian Church, you're a baptized believer in Christ, we got to get you in the game. The man in the arena, we need you in the arena. We would need a towel in your hand doing whatever it is that God has blessed you to do. And that's how all this works. We're a body, and the parts of the body all have different functions. And God has blessed all of us in this body with gifts of service to where we can serve God and we can serve others. Kind of the last challenge this morning is this. Don't let the kingdom work of what God is doing slow down because you did not pick up a towel. Get in the arena. Get in the game. Be honest with yourself. On that scale of 0 to 10, where in the world am I right now? How can I use God's word as a challenge to move me beyond where I have been lately? That's the challenge. And if you want to pick up a towel, it first starts by surrendering your life to the one who had already picked up a towel, and that is Jesus Christ. By giving your life to Him, by being baptized, committing yourself fully to Him and His cause. And in turn, God gives you a hope of eternal life in heaven. What a trade-off. Because this life is temporary, and that life will be forever. The worship team's going to lead us in song, and let's stand together, and let's worship.